Self-delusion. It's almost too easy. The drunk says, I can quit anytime. All too many do not see reality. Some churches think all is well. Great numbers convince them God is doing a mighty work. Today, we'll visit an ancient church Jesus proclaimed to be dead, even though it thought it was alive. Want a reality check for your church? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, as we learn about the church at Sardis, a church in great need of repentance.
I'm sure that all of us have met someone, and afterwards we've said to a friend, he's the real deal. What do we mean by that? We mean that what you see is what you get. He's a person of integrity, he can be trusted, and he's real. There's no pretense. He is who he says he is. He's the real deal. What we mean, I think, is that the inside of this person is essentially the same as the outside. The heart matches the head, matches the performance. Jesus, when he looks at the church in the book of Revelation chapter 2, and you can turn to that, actually chapter 3, I should say, he's speaking to a church here that is not the real deal. And what a message he gives to this church. Chapter 3, verse 1, this is the church at Sardis. You remember that the letters of the Church of Revelation begin with Ephesus and then they go counterclockwise. And eventually, if you were to do that in modern Turkey, you could come to these places. It is the church that is in Sardis. Now, can you imagine being a member of a church and you get a letter from Jesus, and could there be any person in all the universe whose opinion would be more important than his? You get this letter from Jesus, and it is a letter of strong, strong rebuke. What would it sound like? Now, I decided to do this. What if I were to read this letter and then put Moody Church where Sardis occurs? This is going to be very strong. I asked you to look at what church you think best represents Moody, and I have not chosen this church as best representing us. I would like to think that this isn't true of us, but let's just hear what this must have sounded like to the congregation at Sardis. And to the angel of the church at Moody, write the words of him who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard, keep it, and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I have come against you. Yet I still have a few names at Moody, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, wow. What a strong letter. The letter begins by saying that I'm the one who has the 7 stars and the 7 spirits. The 7 stars, of course, are the angels or the leaders of the 7 churches. And then you also have the 7 spirits of God. What could that possibly be a reference to? There aren't 7 independent spirits of God. It refers to the fullness of the Spirit. Jesus is saying that there are 7 churches and each one can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I have the 7 spirits in my other hand. Now, what we'd like to do for the next few moments is to walk through this passage with all of the sting that Jesus gave to this church. And to do so and to walk through it by pointing out, first of all, obviously, the strong rebuke Then we'll get to the remedy, and then we'll get to the reward. That's the agenda. This outline, by the way, is not mine. It comes from John Stott, who wrote a book on the seven churches, and I have benefited much from reading it, and today his outline, my outline is essentially from his book. So let's walk through this passage of Scripture, and let's see what Jesus has to say to Sardis. First of all, he says, there's this sharp rebuke, "You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Wow. If you wanted to join a church, Sardis was the place to join. Sardis would have had ministries to the poor, ministries to widows, ministry in the community. It was an active beehive of activity. It had a reputation that spread beyond its borders as a church that was constantly being involved and sacrificial. That's what everybody thought of Sardis. You have a name, you have a reputation that you are alive, but God comes along and says, "My opinion is very different. You are dead, spiritually dead." The difference is between physical health and spiritual health. Physical activity, but where is the Holy Spirit? Where are those ministries that are transforming, because the gospel is a part of those ministries, and therefore you are doing something that bears much spiritual fruit that will last forever? Where is that kind of activity? I don't find it, God says, in Sardis. Wow. You know, I'm reminded of Jesus when he was here on earth and spending time with the Pharisees. That's the way in which he looked at them as individuals. He said that you sing the right songs, you hear the right words, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And God says, "I'm looking at your heart, and my opinion is different from yours. You think you're doing well, and I say that you are a lie, you are a hypocrite." In fact, he made this astounding statement. He said that outwardly you are like a tomb that has been adorned. It's whitewashed. You know, an ossuary is basically a bone box. It's ossuaries that were found in that famous tomb in Jerusalem, where supposedly the bones of Jesus were found. But now everybody, of course, denies that those are the bones of Jesus. But an ossuary was this bone box, and sometimes they had all kinds of paint and ornamentation. And Jesus said that you are like that. Outwardly, you appear to be righteous. You say the right prayers. You give the right gifts. And you sing the right hymns. And you go to the right church. But inwardly, you are like dead men's bones filled with rot. We've all met people like that, have we not? Jesus strongly rebukes this church. Well, what is the remedy? He gives five imperatives, and we'll look at them very quickly. First of all, he says, "Wake up." Now, you can't tell dead people to wake up. I mean, you can tell them to wake up, but they probably won't. You can go into a funeral home and say, "Wake up!" And you know what? They just aren't going to wake. There must have been some people at Sardis who were not dead, but simply asleep. And so this may be an appeal to the Christians to say, "Wake up! Don't you see what's happening around you? Don't you see that your church has lost the gospel? Don't you see that your ministry is not permanently transforming, that people are not coming to Christ as Savior? Wake up!" And that's maybe what God is saying to us as a church and as a nation. Don't you see where we are headed? Don't you see that your lives are full of pleasure and all kinds of recreation, and you basically have squeezed me out? Wake up. When I was in Germany recently, I woke up at about 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a Sunday morning, and I heard some bells chiming at a church. And I knew I had missed the first few. And I wasn't going to count the number of bells that were ringing, but I thought, well, all right, the chimes, I should say. I'll begin counting. Well, I counted 14. 6 o'clock in the morning, and you hear 14 chimes. I told somebody in Germany, you know, it's later than it's ever been. And maybe that's what God is saying to us. Folks, it is later in America than it has ever been. Wake up. And then the Lord says, strengthen what remains. You know, there are new believers that are wobbly. There are ministries that are transforming. You strengthen those. You pray and you seek God and you work with others and you do all that you possibly can to rescue what you've got and to make it better. So the scripture says, wake up, strengthen what remains. And then notice Jesus throws this in. If you will not wake up, I'm still in verse 3. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Would you like to be the member of a church where Jesus, when he comes, is against that church? I would not want to be a part of a fellowship like that. Could you imagine it? This is the meek and the mild Jesus that most people know and think that that's all that there is to him. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. It is really true, isn't it, that our culture has misunderstood Jesus. Most people have warm thoughts about Jesus, particularly at Christmas time, as long as he is a baby in a manger. They feel very secure, because a baby is very helpless. And then, of course, as Jesus Christ lived on earth, he was kind, he was constantly showing God's forgiveness and love, but when we get to the book of Revelation, we see that there are other attributes of Jesus. Those attributes do not contradict what we see when he was here on earth, but they expand our vision as to who Jesus is. And there we see him as lawgiver. There we see him as judge. There we see him as King of Kings. And imagine he even comes against his own church. My friends, in the presence of Jesus Christ, what we should do is to bow and worship. We should be willing to repent, to give ourselves to him without hesitation. I believe that this series of messages is so important that you will want to have a copy, not only for yourself, but also to share it with friends. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive your own copy, so that you can listen to these messages again and again. Take time to read the text. See what Jesus is saying to the churches. Then apply it to your church and your life, and you'll discover the transforming power of the Word and of the Holy Spirit. We're so glad also for the many of you who support our ministry. We're deeply grateful and humbled that we have the opportunity of speaking to you each day. God bless you, my friend. Hope to see you next time. And as for today, may God bless you abundantly.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing When Jesus Observes Our Reality, message number 6 on What Jesus Thinks of His Church. Tomorrow, more words of warning from Jesus to his church at Sardis. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church, and this entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Make it a point to join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.